Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you here with us today, and I have an awesome guest. So Jill, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here with you and your energy today.
My energy is something else, you guys. Sorry, I'm going to try to come down a little bit and be a little steady. We'll work on it. But Jill, thank you so much for being a part. So everybody meet Jill Davenport. And Jill, if you will do us all a favor then as we get started in with the podcast episode and tell everybody, you know, who you are, what it is that you do, and like what got you into your space.
Well, I am a story director and visibility coach. And what that means is I help business owners to find and tell relatable stories to connect with their audience on a more personal, emotional level so that they can stand out and be remembered and attract their ideal clients and collaborations, bigger opportunities, because as humans, we remember stories. It's in our DNA. We're natural storytellers, natural story listeners, and it's just more interesting and fun to tell and hear stories. And then I also help them with the visibility. I noticed that people would get their stories and then I'm like, okay, you're going to go tell them. So I'm like, now I help them go out and tell them with their face on camera, on video, because that helps people to instantly connect with your vibe. And I have a background in acting, film and theater. And I bring that in. And I also have a background as a coach and an energy healer. So I bring all those things together to help people to be more calm and confident telling their stories and have fun doing it.
Yeah. Oh, I love this so much. And I think that storytelling, like you're right, like a lot of the people, especially for us that are in business, I mean, honestly, for any business, but especially for us entrepreneurs who are service-based, like telling your stories and having that relatability is how people connect with you, right? And I feel like that's the same like across the board, right? Like if you go to a doctor, for a lot of us, right, we're going to want to connect with that person when we talk with them. If we go in and they're very like stone face and whatever, there's a very good possibility I end up going somewhere else, right? Like I need someone who's personable. I need someone that can be relatable and things like that. And I love that you take this storytelling piece and then, you know, add the visibility piece to it to teach people, you know, that like, yes, you can tell your stories and there's a way to be able to do that in front of camera that also allows you to be relatable and not just so in your head that you're like straight faced and like making sure that you're saying the right thing. Like you have to be able to be comfortable with it. It's more of an emotion. It's more of a feeling. And you're telling the thing that you remembered as well, and correlating all those pieces together.
Yes, absolutely. It's exactly with when you meet a doctor or whatever, anybody, and especially a lot of people that I help are, service-based and are solopreneurs, a lot of like coaches and healers and creatives. And it's like you really want to know, get the person's vibe, and you really want to relate to them. And we sometimes get stuck with doing like tips and tricks and sharing those, but it's like, who are you? What's your, like if you can add a story into that, it's much more memorable, and we connect. And it's like you might not connect with everyone, but the people that you do connect with are really going to be big fans of yours, and follow you with whatever you do because they're connecting with you as a person. And what do people do? Usually, when they're checking someone out, they go check out their social media because they want to see if there's like any videos of them and just get a feel for them. Because especially like with the online space, it's really hard to read people. Like in person, we get so many different cues. We get, body language, you get like smell, you get, we have all of these other things that tell inform us, if we vibe with the person or not. And so, the more we can add these things to especially the online space, the more we can connect with people faster.
Yeah, definitely. And you're so right too, because I know that every person that I've connected with, every coach that I have hired, that's what I do, stalked them. Like, okay, don't you guys say that you don't stalk people, okay? It's a thing. Let's just be honest. But I have gone and stalked their pages just to, because you're right, it is that relatability, that personality to make sure, like, okay, are you going to understand what I'm saying? Is what you and I had in a conversation what you're really going to tell me if we were to work together, right? So, like, I do think that it's important to be able to go back and see some of those things because you're right. Like, tips and tricks are great. But I will say that any coach that I have looked at, if I go back through some of their stuff and kind of look through it, if that's all that I see, I will not hire them. I want to get to know the person because generally when I'm hiring a coach, yes, it is for like helping me in the business and things, but there also has to be a relatability piece. If you can't share who you are and you can't tell me little stories and pieces in between, then how do I know that you're going to be able to understand what I am going through, what I am dealing with in my business, and the direction that I want to go with my clients if you are hiding who you are, which I know you're not hiding, right? But essentially you're keeping that to yourself for whatever reason.
Yeah, totally. And it doesn't even have to be like super personal. Like some people say, I don't want to, talk about my family or whatever, like my, childhood trauma or whatever, but it doesn't have to be, it's super personal. Just like a little glance at, like what your thoughts are on things and what your, but in the form of a story because it's more fun and interesting to hear, And like something that happened today or something that happened for my client, but I like to hear more like personal story, like more like firsthand stories or something that I, failed at and this is what I learned or whatever,
Yeah, I think that's a big one for a lot of people. And I know it was for me especially, was I don't want to just hear about your wins. I'm all for you in that space. And I know that when I first got into my business and I was failing like time after time after time, and I wasn't making the money and stuff like that, it is really hard to follow someone who is constantly sharing all of the beauty in their business. Doesn't mean you don't share it. Like, I'm not saying that, but sometimes there needs to be some type of realism in it for us to be able to connect. Otherwise, I know for me, and what I talk about a lot is there's this disconnect where this person is way up here and I'm still way down here. And if you're not filling in some of the gaps where I can kind of bring you down, then in my brain, I've put you on such a pedestal that I'm like, oh my God, well, you would never want to help me. Look at all the things that you have going on. Look at what you're doing here. Why would you want to come down here and help me? I don't have anything together. Like, I think there's that shame factor that plays in people's brains especially, and that is what holds us back from making the decision to work with someone. And so I do think that it is very needed to share those other elements. And I agree with you big time because I think a lot of us get confused on sharing stories. So I would love for you to elaborate and give, like, what are some tips that you would say if people wanted to tiptoe into sharing stories, but not going in too deep? Because there is a difference between sharing your story or being so overvulnerable and messy that you don't even get anything across. And then it's almost like a trauma dump. And you have to be very, very careful on that one. I know that people that follow me are going to see posts where I really dive in deep about some of the things that I've been through, but there's a full circle in when I'm sharing those stories. And while I may get emotional, you may see me tear up, I have a level of being able to control it. It's just part of the emotions. But I have seen some people that you know that they're wanting to get the connection out, that they understand what people have been through, but because they're not completely on the other side, they almost get caught up in the emotions of the story and they lose the piece that they need to share afterwards to bring people back out of it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to put it because I want to talk about the first thing you talked about. So if I forget,
you take notes. I know. Sorry, Jill.
It's okay. No, so yes, with the, like, sharing, like, the people that have accomplished so much, and it's like the twofold. It's the thing that you talked about, that, like, why would they even want to help me? But also, can they even understand where I am right now? Like, sometimes you don't want someone who's making, you know, millions of dollars if you're just starting out, because, like, things are different now, you know, like you have that. I'm like, well, do you even understand how social media works anymore? Like, when you first started, you know, it was a different game, or, like, things were different. You know, there wasn't as many people, all this stuff. So I think it's really important to share where you are right now. And there's, like, all different levels of people that that can help us at different stages, you know? So it's, I think there's a lot of, like, also shame of people that don't want to share where they are and, like, how things are going. They want to pretend like they're at a different level than they are.
Yeah.
And it's really not serving them on some, you know, because there are people that they can help that don't want somebody at this level they're pretending to be at. You know, they want somebody who's, like, who gets it, who's just a little bit further ahead of them. And it's like, if you can share, you know, what you did, what you failed at or whatever, or something that's working for you now, but, like, not, you know, not fronting, you know, like, not faking it, you know, that is super valuable. And I will, and then the thing that you were talking about, the sharing the stories and what to share and not, like, trauma dumping or whatever. I think it's the intention of the story is, why are you telling this story to someone? Like, what, 'cause there's a difference between, you know, putting everybody as your therapist online and then, like, telling a story that has meaning and has something that the intention is for them, not for you. So, like, what can you share? And I don't think you always have to be on the other side of what you're going through to share it. Like, there's the messy middle that you can share about, but it's like, what's the intention? Like, am I gonna, like, will this, if I share this right now, will this be useful for someone? And there's something for everyone. And I think even if you don't have a solution for what you're going through, sometimes people just like to hear that someone else is going through the same thing. It makes them feel less alone and makes them feel seen and, like, oh, this person is experiencing this too. And maybe they don't have the answer, but I just feel like, oh, okay. 'Cause it's sometimes when we're going through stuff that's hard, it's like, oh, I'm the only one going through this. And if you hear that someone else is going through it too, then it can be helpful.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Definitely. I've tried to do that in my business and even in my calls with my clients. You know, like, I had a call not too long ago, and I was being very honest. She was asking me at the time, like, you know, well, what do you use to follow up with your leads and stuff like that? And I was like, well, for being completely honest, I don't. I was like, I can help you with the processes, but the direction that I'm going within my business, I've built this, this, and this, and this is kind of the reason why I don't have the system like I'm telling you, because of the direction that it's moved, you know? So I feel like people are craving honesty and relatability and not just the I know it all kind of a thing. I think we're really starting to get out of that era that has been put on us for so long, because people are craving knowing, like you said, that they're not alone, that somebody else is struggling with it or has struggled with it or is going through it, because we are really isolated. And I feel like, especially since COVID, like there's been a lot of isolation, right? Like people are working from home more, people are remote workers, people, whatever the case may be, there's just not the connection like it used to be. And I know I'm starting to see, you know, networking groups in person and stuff like that all over again, which is great. And there's still a lot of us for our business that we're connecting with people all over the world, not just necessarily in our state. And so you have to kind of find that balance of sharing parts of you and sharing parts of your business.
Yes, exactly. And to go back to like the sharing, I love to hear like when a coach that I'm working with or whatever is like, if things aren't perfect for them, or if they share just like a little insight of something that they're struggling with. But it's, I think the line is where like they can still help. And it's like, I'm going through this, but I'm showing up for you and for my work. That's not going to get in the way with how I help you, you know, because we always have stuff going on and we can be going through something, you know, big, but also be able to show up for our clients, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's like that balance of like sharing what's going on, not like diving deep into it and being like, you know, like knowing the boundary, but you know, it's just nice. Yeah. It's refreshing to hear real chat, you know.
Real chat with See, Kat, right? This is the whole reason. No, I'm just kidding. You know, so if you have someone that, let's say, is for whatever reason hasn't really used social media as their tool, and like they're really wanting to kind of step out into it and use it as a way to spread their message, how would you suggest balancing? Because I've had this question asked to me as well, so I'd love your opinion of like, okay, well, like, what do I share and what do I not share? And how much of each one of those things do I share?
I think it really just depends on your comfort level. There's no one size fits all for that. And I think it's like, I think people are usually more reluctant to share. There's all these rules, and I think, F the rules, you know.
It's like, I love you so much for this.
There is no rules. It's like everybody's just making up the rules as they go along, and they're like, oh, the rules have changed. So I think it's just like play and have fun and like what lights you up, and because that's what's going to keep you going. Like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to share about? Like, I feel like when I first started, it was like, oh, you only talk about these things and have these compartments and you can share this, but not too much of this. And it's like, oh, it's exhausting. Like, just talk about what you want to talk about. And the people that are the resonate with it will be there for it. And the people that don't will leave. But you're going to have fun. And that's how you keep showing up, is like when you're having fun and doing what you want to do and sharing. And if you can tie it into your business, yes, great. I mean, that's really what you wanted to, but you know, it's like, just play around with it. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to share something, don't share it. Like, don't put yourself out there in a way that makes you feel like you're going to regret it, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I really want to share that, when you start putting yourself out and sharing more, there is this like vulnerability hangover. And I had a coach tell me, when you start sharing more about, you know, start like putting your opinions out more and just being more visible, you might feel like you want to puke. And that was so liberating to me, because I'm like, oh, okay, this is natural. This is like what happens, you know, like it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel like, ugh. But then you get through it. It's just because it's like a new thing. Your nervous system is adjusting. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I shared that. How embarrassing. Like, what are people thinking? You know, but then it's like, if you just keep going, it gets easier, and it just and, it, and then you stop feeling like you want to puke.
Yes. And okay, so first off, in case nobody heard what she said a minute ago, it isn't a one size fits all. Did we hear that? Do we? I just want to make sure that we're clear on that, because it's such a big thing in the industry. Because you're right, people just like make up their own rules and they're like, yeah, well, this is what works. And if you do this, this many times and this, this many times, this is, and for some of them, right, it is repeatable. I'm not saying that it's not, right? And it also depends on how you resonate with your audience, right? Like, I know a lot of people for a long time with me were like, you know, you got to write these, you know, these posts, and you can dive into it there and blah, blah, blah. And if you do a blog, and I was like, but what I found out was, okay, blogs work for some people. They really do. And I have a friend of mine that writes these long posts on Facebook, and they're beautiful stories. I usually don't read the entire thing. I skim it, but that's just me. And apparently my audience is the same way. You guys like my videos, and my videos tend to get a lot more views and interactions than if I just write this big long post, right? There are occasional ones that still read the post, but for me, I have noticed that more people respond to more of the videos that I do than just writing a bunch of stuff out. So you really have to, like you said, play with it and kind of figure out where people lie, where your audience is, and who is connecting to that, and then decide if you want to do more of it. And the other thing that you brought up as well is there's a difference between sharing because you're afraid people will judge you and sharing something that makes you feel like that is a no-no, right? Like there's two different feelings. And I think we get those feelings confused. And so we don't share anything because of it. Like there's a very real difference in I'm uncomfortable sharing this because generally I don't, but I know it could help someone, versus this makes me sick to my stomach to share. I probably shouldn't share this because this is kind of personal. That's two different feelings. Yeah. And we don't always recognize that, because those feelings are, I mean, they're basically one and the same, but it's knowing in your mind and in your heart where the direction, like you said, of that story is going. And if there is a point, a reason, or a why that's behind it, right? Like I share a lot about my abuse and the things that I went through and the things that I screwed up with my kids, not because I need empathy, not because I need people to feel sorry for me, because I know there are other people out there that are dealing with the same thing. And so by sharing that, that is going to help someone else who may have never shared that piece of them to anyone, right? But coming on there and talking about an argument that I had with my kid for the sake of telling them I had an argument isn't necessarily helping anyone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, beautifully outlined and bullet pointed there. And then you brought up something that I think is a slightly different with the so not just what you're sharing, but the format that you're sharing it in. And I think that does one. Yeah, it's like, what do you want to do? But there are like as far as like video, long form writing, you know, and I think, yes, absolutely do what you want to do. And the people that resonate with it will find you. But there are like a few things that are technique and strategy around that. Like, you know, if you, sometimes you can cut down what you're writing because people don't want to read. And it depends on the where the platform is too. Like I find that Instagram is not set up for long form writing content.
Yeah.
It's just like, just the nature of the way that you go through the platform, you know, it's, they love videos, but not long videos, because mine always glitches out when I'm watching a long video. I can't even like finish a long video. So.
Oh my God, I'm not the only one.
Yeah. So it's tough. Instagram is like, they make it difficult, but I do like Instagram, but yeah, I think there are tweaks. It's like, if you like making videos, or if you like telling stories about this, like sometimes if you're not getting the engagement that you want, you can play around with the way that you do it, because it's like, are you spending too much time in the video, like saying, hey guys, I just wanted to come on here to say, you know, oh, hi, you know, whatever. And it's, and it takes too long to get into what you're saying, and people are busy and they want to know what this is about right away, if it's worth their time, or they're just going to like scroll on by because they got a lot of scrolling to do. They're here to buffer. they're escaping what they really should be doing. So get to the point, entertain, engage, you know. So there are like things if that's not working for you that can be adjusted. But yeah, I say like, if you want to share something, and exactly how you said it, like, are you saying it so that you can help someone so that they can feel less alone, or that they might be able to learn from what you're going through or what you went through, as versus sharing just to be like, hey, listen, my kid said this today and like, I'm mad, you know, whatever. You still could turn that around for a learning moment, but it's like,
technically,
yeah, look for the learning moments, I think, because even if you're going through something, like, you can still be learning something and sharing what you're learning, even if you're not on the other side of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I thank you for bringing the point up too, of like, you know, paying attention to the platforms that you're on as well, and what that means, because that was something that was really hard for me to figure out in the beginning. And I wasn't really big on Instagram for quite a while. Like, okay, everybody, yeah, I'm old school. I was Facebook. Shut up. I knew what MySpace was, so we're not going to go there. But I had a really hard time with Instagram, and I always, you know, couldn't figure out like why nobody saw it or nobody looked at it and things like that. Like, you really have to be very mindful of that. And that was something that a friend of mine taught me as well. It's like, you know, if you do want to do something that's a little bit more of long form that you're putting on like Facebook or LinkedIn. LinkedIn is one of my big platforms, because people read on that platform. Then like, you can turn it into a carousel on Instagram. So you're kind of, you know, being able to scroll through it. And to your point as well, like you were talking about when you're telling your story, this is something that I love that you brought this up, because I see this so much where, and I think I used to do it as well. Like, I should really go back to my videos, because now I'm curious, where you get on, even if you're doing a live or something, and you're like, hi, I'm just here to, and it takes you like 30 seconds to introduce yourself and warm yourself up to speaking to everyone. And then you jump into it, right? Like, and I know that I used to do that as well. And I've learned that you're right. We have, what is it? Less than 10 seconds to catch somebody's attention. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, like I think it's like less than 2 on Instagram.
Good gracious, we are losing people. Just saying, but you're right though. Like, so I had a friend of mine that, especially for Instagram, was like, you know, certain wordings and stuff that you put across the top, so when it pops up, it catches their attention. Like things that make them want to click on it, or using captions for if they don't have the sound on, they see it and they read it, yes. So they want to listen to it, right? Like just little things like that. But you're right, like really jumping in and getting to the point and just deep diving into it versus feeling like you have to do this whole introduction. And what I noticed, something that was really cool as well, and I'd love your take on it if you agree with this or not, was I switched my conversations from, you know, hey, everybody, have you ever been through this? Have you dealt with this? Da 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 da, to you are not going to believe what I've gone through. Have you ever done this? Do you go through this? So I went from addressing an audience to addressing a person. And that was a really interesting twist on how people relate to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's like copywriting, you know, when you're writing to your email list or when you're, you know, showing up on video, there's one person sitting, it's not a group of people sitting together all, you know, at the premiere of your Instagram video post, you know, we're not sitting in a theater, you know. So yes, absolutely. It just feels like, oh, okay, you're talking to me. And I love the difference of like, of the two juxtaposed intros that you did. Hey, everybody. And then you were like, you're not going to believe this. Ooh, what? What are we not going to believe? We love drama. What are we not gonna believe? You know? What's going on? We need to know. You know,
it's so interesting on that. It's definitely, it's what they talk about, that hook. And I was like, I don't understand. Then I was like, oh, yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, you can, you know, you can figure it out. Like, just notice what you like when you're watching other people's. Notice where you go, scroll, you know, and the more you can notice like what's interesting to you, the more you can share that in your own stuff. See, like what turns you off what makes you like bored or whatever, and see how long you take, you know, just really put yourself in the, I mean, you are, it's like you're experiencing other people's stuff. So people are experiencing your stuff too. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, definitely. Oh, that makes so much sense. And now that I think about it, I'm like, I think I've kind of actually done that. I have a friend of mine that is an Instagram coach and I adore her. And so anyway, but her content on Instagram, like I stop for it every time, every time. And then what I noticed was there was a couple things I was like, oh, I should try this. I should try this one out because I kind of like it. And then I noticed like the engagement on it. So you're totally right. And then think about that. I actually did that and didn't even realize that I was doing it. But I feel like we live in a day and age where there's so many things out there to filter out that we are fighting all of that noise. And we have to understand that, one, we can always grow on how we're doing things. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means we're getting better at it. And two, not everybody is going to resonate with it, regardless of how you do it. And to be honest, that's okay, because you don't want everybody on it anyway, because then you do get the comments of the judging and the other people that are doing that stuff that you're like, why are you even following my page? Like, you don't like my stuff anyway. Like, what is the point? Right. So like, I think that being very aware of that and knowing that you could be making a difference in at least one person's life is where I feel like we need to focus a little bit more on versus trying to change the world.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And I will say, like, it's social media is the end all be all. You can do videos on your website or whatever, you know, like, and I think it's really, even if you're not getting the engagement you want, absolutely get curious. You know, what's working, what's not working. And don't just be like, I suck. And just be like, how can I, like, what, why isn't this working? You know? Mm-hmm. And also, two things. One, the lurkers are usually the buyers. So the people who don't respond, you know what I mean? Like you know, just keep that in mind. There's tons of people that are seeing stuff that aren't responding, but they're like, they're watching, right? They're stalking. Mm-hmm. Like you said. And then secondly, you're creating a bank of media for people to go see. So for instance, I started making videos. I had a in-person healing business in LA before the pandemic, and I started making videos, and someone saw one of my videos. It was someone that was an organizer for an event. It was like this big event, and they reached out to me and they were like, hey, we'd like you to come to this event, and because we saw your video. So if I didn't have videos up, then they wouldn't have been able to differentiate me from other people, but they liked my video and they reached out, and, you know, I got a gig from it. So it's like people go and they say, oh, what do they look like if we want to have them come speak, or if we want them to talk to our group or whatever, they can come look at your video and see, you know, how you are, what your energy is like, if you talk well, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the big thing too on that is don't be afraid to screw up. I've met so many people that, you know, have all these different tools and they're like, well, it takes all the ums out and it takes out. Practice on that then, because the more that you talk, the more that you can be aware of what you are saying, the more that you can catch it so that you aren't doing that, right? But if you are so focused on just doing the same thing day in and day out, and I'll just use a program that'll fix it for me. If you are ever at a point where you are asked to do something like that, you are going to have a panic attack. Because you know what's going to come out of your mouth. One of the reasons why I do not edit my podcast, it's okay for us to screw up. And I have listened to some of the bigger names that talk, like Tim Ferriss and Simon Sinek. And I have listened to them in front of audiences pause or say, or repeat a word a couple of times so they catch up to what they were thinking on. There's nothing wrong with that. And I feel like we have been programmed to think that that's horrible. It's natural. And when your brain kind of gets going and you're processing things, sometimes the brain is ahead of the mouth and the mouth needs to catch up. I'm just saying, mine does it all the time. So I think that people need to be aware of that as well, is the more that you do it, like you were saying, you practice it and it's okay. And people are still going to see that, but people aren't going to hate you for it. And people aren't going to be like, oh, she said 10 ums. That's ridiculous. I can't listen to that one. Like, people are going to connect with it regardless. And then it gives you a chance to further improve how you are speaking. Yeah. I know that for me, when I first started talking and just speaking in general, when it came to having deeper conversations, was like my go-to word. And it got to the point to where I finally noticed it. I was like, oh my God, this is so irritating. Like, why? And I was working with a vocal coach at the time. And he said, it's a lot of it is because you feel like you need to fill in the spaces versus being okay to pause. And I was like, oh, pause. Like, yeah. But it's so true, right? Like, I know that for me, a lot of times I know what I want to say, but it's like, the mouth interrupts the brain before the thought comes out. Because if I were to just be silent, finish the thought that's in my brain and then give it out, it's awkward.
Yeah.
Totally. Like,
yeah, I know, it's a practice. And I still say, quite a bit, I'm sure, like that, yeah. Just there. I don't even notice it, you know? I think it's also too, it's the feeling of letting people know there's more coming. Hang on, don't interrupt my thoughts.
Oh, true, very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is being okay to know that everyone starts in the beginning. I think that's the biggest thing, right? If you're not good at storytelling, great. Guess what? Most people weren't in the very beginning. Like, everybody takes practice, right? You aren't born this elegant speaker that knows exactly how you want to say things in the correct tone. Like, everyone is learning and growing constantly. And if they allowed you to see their content from way back when, like you can see mine, you'll see where more of the screw ups and the flaws are, and like where the improvement has come from that. And that is okay. And I think that we forget that because not enough of us show that progress. We get to a point and we're so proud of where we're at that, like, we don't want anyone to see this. Like, we're going to sweep this under the rug. It's always been this way. And it's like, but it's not. And more people need to be able to see that so that they can overcome their own fears and their own judgments of themselves as they are learning and growing through this process.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because I was just thinking, it's so fun to go back and watch people that are super successful, to go see where they started and to see their videos and, you know, whatever their material. I just like to watch their videos, but, you know, to see where they were, what they were doing. Cause it's like, it gives you clues, because now, like, after you've been doing something for a while, you kind of forget what it was like in the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really still good. I found so many good nuggets watching people that are, like, you know, multi-million dollar business owners, seeing where they started and what they were doing. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. That's totally different than what you're doing now. But I see, you can see their progress, and it's just like, oh, okay, you started like this.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
I can start like this too.
Yeah. Exactly. It fills in that gap that we were talking about earlier. You get to understand where that person was, and you get to fill in the gap, which makes you feel like you're not as alone as you're working into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's still good nuggets. Like, I think we're too hard on ourselves. And,
oh yeah,
you know, it's like, well, that's not good. And it's like, there's still some good stuff in there. Sometimes I go back and look at my stuff and I think it's going to cringe. And sometimes it is. But sometimes I'm like, oh, that's good advice. I need to do that right now.
I have so done that. I'm like, man, I was on fire that day. I sounded good. Yeah. What?
Yeah. And if you hadn't recorded it or wrote it down, you wouldn't be able to. You're benefiting from it now, you know,
right?
Like, we're still benefiting from our lives past self.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. And you know, it goes back to that, like, you know, taking your own advice. Oh, that I have to remember sometimes. Cause it's so easy for us to spit things out for other people. I feel like, so,
absolutely.
Jill, I love this conversation. I feel like we could go on forever. To the audience, you know, like, I hope you guys, like, it's really ingraining in you wherever you are at. Like, we all start somewhere, right? And we all have to progress. So as we come to a close, you know, is there a quote or a piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
Let's see. Oh, a quote or a piece of advice. I would say just play, have fun, try stuff. Because I think a lot of times we get too serious. This is a long, quote, but but when I started playing and having fun in my business, like, things totally shifted. Like, I think we feel like we have to be super professional and buttoned up, and like, that's dry, and that's it's not fun, and it's not sustainable. And it's like, more creativity happens when we're having fun and when we're being ourselves. And yeah, like, just baby steps. If you're not showing up and talking your stories, just freaking do it. Try it.
Let's do it. See, did you hear all that? Oh, no, so do us all a favor then. Please share with the audience then, you know, how they can find you, how they can connect to you, how they can be in your world. And I know that you have an amazing freebie for the audience too, that I'm super excited. So share all the things.
I do. Yeah. So I have made a little, a gift for you. It's called Story Starters. It's a little sheet with some things that will give you ideas to start telling stories. I think you're going to have a link there, because it's JillDavenport.com. That's my website where you can find me. JillDavenport.com/story-starters is where you can find the my gift to you. And I'm on Instagram at JillDavenport_. And I am on LinkedIn at Jill Davenport Coaching, I think. I don't know. I'll give you my links.
So just, I am not Jill uniform.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
that's awesome. And of course, we'll have all that information in the show notes. We'll make it super easy for you guys to find, click on, get the freebie and all the things. So don't worry about that. And Jill, again, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. It's so much fun talking with you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. Likewise, it's so fun talking to you.
Thank you. To everybody else out there, I hope you guys got some amazing takeaways. And again, I really do think that we really have to drive this home. And that is, regardless of whatever you're doing and trying out in your business, especially when it comes to storytelling and like starting to share your stuff out there in the ethers, just freaking do it. Like, it's okay to screw up. It's part of the process. You're really not going to be judged by people as much as you think that you are, because everybody is in their own bubble. But it really does make a difference, you know, to share pieces and make sure that you have these practicalities or these teaching moments that are wrapped in it. So you really are connecting both your personal life and those pieces you want to share along with the business that you're building, right? Of course. So to everybody else out there, thank you so much for tuning in today. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at
The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.